And so back to birds. We continue with a visit to the Cornell Bird Lab. And here is that lover of warblers and e-bird, Ian Davies.
Warblers, the kind that we were seeing in the Americas, are usually maybe 3 to 4 inches long, mostly yellow, and an emblematic bird of the spring across North America.
Tell me about eBird, your project.
Yeah, so eBird is a global citizen science project that aims to tap into the passion that folks have for birds all over the world. And so for the past 15 years or so, we've collected sightings from folks' gardens and local parks and have gathered more than 600 million records of birds from every country in the world.
How do you cope with that number?
Yeah, it's an adventure. One of the things that is critical on that topic is data quality. And so trying to find the balance between collecting information on a scale that it's usable while also making sure that it's high enough quality that it can be a part of research and conservation efforts.
How do you test that? Because I've talked to a number of people in astronomy who do that, where they can have, in one experiment in Oxford, Galaxy Zoo, I think it's called, they have well over 1 million people involved, and they have a scheme for testing whether the results are reliable. What do you have?
Galaxy Zoo is a great example and a similar case in which we've collected sightings from about 420,000 people so far. And when you have all these different folks from different parts of the world, different levels, how do you standardize that? And it's hard. But one of the things that's so incredible about the birding community is that there are so many people that are so knowledgeable and passionate and willing to share. And so what we do is work with folks all around the world who really know the birds in their region of expertise and volunteer their time to note which birds are unusual, follow up with unusual reports, and figure out what was actually seen.
As the results pour in, any much surprise you?
There's always surprises out there. And so it could be everything from 750,000 warblers in one day to right now in southern Florida, there's a dark-billed cuckoo, which is a bird that occurs in South America, normally migrates from northern to southern South America. But this one seems to have flipped around the wrong way and gone from South America to southern North America, second time ever in the U.S.
And I should imagine with climate change and various other massive changes going on, you need to track things and big numbers help.
Absolutely. Big numbers of records and across a broad scale as well. And so one of the things that citizen science really offers is the ability to tap into everybody's observations, not just a specific scientific study. How can we understand when something is happening on a broad scale before these birds are endangered, before they're threatened? And so that's what we try to do.
What have you noticed? Which ones are you worried about at the moment?
Yeah, so we just released a set of what we call eBird status and trends. And so this was taking all this sighting information and looking at the past 10 years or so, understanding over those 10 years, what's changed. And so the interesting thing about that was that eBird's data allowed us to understand the trends in some birds that we couldn't before. Maybe birds that breed in northern Canada where there's no people, and now we can see what's happening where they winter. And a good common bird example was ruby-crowned kinglet, which is just a bird that occurs throughout much of the U.S. in the winter, and you see it pretty often. And when you see it pretty often, you don't understand maybe if it used to be 5 and now there's 3. We've noticed from eBird data that across the entire range of ruby-crowned kinglet, there's a marked decline every year over the past 10 years.
What a name, ruby-brown kinglet. What's it mean?
Yeah, so ruby-crowned kinglet has a lovely little red flame kind of hidden under the crown of the head. And sometimes when they get agitated or when they sing, they'll flare this out, and it's just a glowing red. It's incredible.
I know people are worried, as we are worried, about the shorebirds because there are so many which travel huge distances, and they're pit stops, if you like, places where they must go on their long journeys, are being crowded out by people, building, all sorts of things like that, and changing the global population completely. Do you have anything much to do with the shorebirds?
Yeah, so one of the things that eBird is really available for is any question you could have about birds, the data are there. And so it's all open source and freely available. And so in the context of Australia or East Asia, the East Asian flyway is one of the most threatened areas for shorebirds in the world, especially in a lot of continental Eastern Asia where these incredibly rich and biodiverse mudflats are being diked off to create factories and other areas like that. And so a lot of these wintering populations are in Australia, such as Broome or near Darwin or Cairns, and figuring out those changes over time there can really paint the picture across the entirety of the Western Pacific.
And you say this information is available, so you can look it up if you're worried about something and see what the latest story is.
Certainly, yeah. The open data model makes it so that anybody can take this information and use it for their purposes. And so eBird data for Australia, there's about 20 million records, all of which are freely available, and you could go download at eBird.org is the website. And they're also available through the Atlas of Living Australia and other national level biodiversity resources.
And do you think Australians are making proper use of this? Is there a way of testing?
I think so. Where eBird is most powerful is where we have really strong local partnerships. And Australia, we actually talk about as one of the banner examples of this globally, where folks in the birding and research communities in Australia have really made eBird incredibly useful and powerful. So we work with folks in Brisbane, University of Queensland, Brisbane, Hugh Possingham.
He's a mathematician, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's a key collaborator there. And then folks in the birding community like Matt Gilfeder, that works for Cicero, and then other folks like Richard and Margaret Alcorn that really built this kind of platform.
Yeah, we call it CSIRO, but CSIRO is okay. Are there any countries or major parts of the world that seem not particularly interested in this at all?
One of the areas that's most difficult to study just in terms of folks that are interested in birds and people covering the area is Africa. And so there are big extents of Africa that we just don't understand what's going on.
What are you doing about that?
Like in Australia, we try and find local groups to collaborate with, researchers, conservationists, and birders, recreational bird watchers. And when you find those three pillars, that's where eBird really takes off and has the most impact.
Way back, when were you first interested in birds and how did it happen?
So I've been a birder since I was 12 or so, and I'd always been interested in nature. And one day I went down the road to a bird observatory that just happened to be a few miles away. A friend of the family said, oh, you should go check this out. And funnily enough, the bird they put in my hand to release at this bird observatory was a Canada warbler, which ended up being one of the most notable sightings in that massive flight of warblers this past spring. So it's kind of come full circle for me.
Have you been to Australia, by the way?
I have been.
What kind of message would you have for Australian in general about what you do and how we can help?
I would just say that you have one of the most incredible sets of birds and fauna really in the world. It's so unique and so special. And every sighting that you have, every time you see a galah in the yard or a cockatoo flying down the street, that can be really useful.
Or a night parrot?
I wish a night parrot.
And that wish could be fulfilled by podcasting Background Briefing with Ann Jones from last weekend on the quest for the night parrot. That was eBird coordinator Ian Davies at the Cornell Bird Lab.